It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Yes, and we are here in the studio on this chilly morning and grateful for a little heat in the air. It'll pass. You know, winter is definitely a thing up this far north in Florida, but at least it's not a long thing. Not like the old days. So enjoy these days, I guess, but I'm kind of ready for it to stop now and see some 70-something and sunshine. Maybe we'll order that for next week. Anyway, I want to welcome back all the regulars. You know, we've been doing this now. We're just closing out our 10th year, soon to start 11 in February. And where that time went is a total mystery to both of us, probably to you too. But we just keep doing it because it's fun and you're out there and you're the ones that make it go. So all you have to do if you want to talk to us is pick up the phone, dial 904-222-8255, and we will put you immediately on the air and discuss what you would like to talk about. Otherwise, we'll talk about the events of the day, and man, are there a lot of them. Everything you can think of is going on right now between the markets and the fires and the politics and on and on and on. And a lot of them will directly impact your wallet. So it always helps to know as much as you can about as many things as you can. You don't have to be an expert in everything, but you have to know a little something. I've got a million old sayings, and one of them is that interesting people know a lot about a little and a little about a lot. In other words, whatever conversation starts up, you can join in because you know enough to be conversant in it. We've tried to raise our kids that way, and I think we've been very successful that way. So, and of course, they know a lot about what they do, but they're able to come into any discussion that seems and hold their own. That's something for you young parents out there to remember. It'll treat you well over time. So, this week, We had an unexpected day off for Jimmy Carter's funeral, and that was kind of a relief because we didn't see the market go down that day. So it made up for it Friday, and it just didn't turn out to be much of a week. I got a funny feeling we're getting close to a turnaround time, but I'm going to let that decision over to the market expert and see if he agrees with me.
Yeah, so ever since about December, 15th-ish, December 12th, December 15th, depending on which index you're looking at, the market has been in a bad mood. It's just been every morning the futures have been negative. We've seen some good days. In fact, the first five trading days of 2025 were up, and that's usually a good sign for the rest of the year. But on Friday, that was not the case. It was one of those, and we talk about this all the time, it was one of those good news is bad news type of days. And the jobs report was released, and man, it was way higher than expected. The consensus forecast by economists was for 156,000 new jobs, but the headline number actually came in at 265,000 jobs. And there was only a small downward revision to the last few months. So that was a boom. And that was not what the market wanted to see. And you might ask why. That sounds like a great thing. The market should have been going up. But no, the problem is right now, the media is out convincing everyone that everything Trump is going to do is going to crash the stock market, and it's inflationary, and it's going to pour rocket fuel on inflation, and it's a disaster for every American. I mean,
because that's exactly what happened last time.
Exactly. I mean, tariffs are inflationary.
Absolutely.
And yada yada yada. Anyways, it's just the whole mood right now is, oh my gosh, inflation's coming back, and we're also scared, and they're doing a great job of instilling fear in everyone. If that is their motive, then they are mission accomplished. Good job. The problem with that is that the Fed has started lowering, but they really haven't gone that far. I mean, they've done one point. We're still, I don't know, three times the Fed rate that we were just a few years ago. There's a lot more to lower if they need to. They can go back up. There's all sorts of things the Fed can do to sort of curb that. They don't have to lower this year anymore. They might not, and that's fine.
Yeah, but got some arrows in their quiver, and when it got as low as it was when the market was loving it, they didn't have any arrows in their quiver.
Yeah, and that's a scary situation to be in. But where they are now, they have plenty of dry ammo, and the market just wanted something to freak out about, and they got it. And so that's what's happening right now. We've seen two of the best years. We've seen the average return over the last couple of years has been upwards of, I think, 15% annualized.
S&P alone annualized for 2 years is
25% each year. Okay, yeah. So even better than I thought. It's just been a real run in the market. Now, we do have to go back and look at 2022, and if you include those numbers, it's not that good. It's still quite good, but not as good as 25%. So yeah,
it's hovering around average now.
Yes.
Averages are made of ups and downs and nothings. There's a million old sayings, as I always say, and that's one of them. Out of every 5 years, you're going to get at least one good one, at least one bad one, at least one neutral, and just the other two that are going to sway the average up or down. We've had our bad one. We've had our two good ones out of the last three. So what if we just return to normal?
Yeah, that would be fine with me. Normal is still pretty good.
I'd love to see a normal year.
Definitely. And the good news is in all of this that the media never gets anything right. So whatever they're going on and on about and warning you about and scaring you about, that is the least likely outcome.
And to show you how well it's working, did you see the bullish number?
Yes.
It had gotten up over 50, at which time we blew the whistle on it and said, this is not good.
Too high. And now it's down to 34.7.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
And then the bearish number is at 37.4. So there's more bears than bulls right now. A lot of people sitting in the middle as well. That's sort of a neutral stance. There's equal parts in all camps, and that's a sign that investors are really weighing out what's going to happen next. And I think rightfully so. There's a lot of change coming. I mean, Trump is a 180 degree reversal from the previous administration, and the policies are going to be way different. Radically different, mostly pro business, and we think it will be good for the market, but time will tell. But it is a time to sort of reevaluate your positions and decide: am I positioned right for what's coming next?
Mm-hmm. And nobody knows for sure, but there are certain things that make a lot of sense. And to me, one of those is listening to what they're talking about now and going back 8 years. It is an exact copy.
Oh, it's the same playbook.
And everything turned out totally wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're in that camp, then you ought to maybe take a step back and think about that. It'd be a good time to talk to somebody with some common sense, like, well, us for one.
That'd be a good start.
And you can do that real easily at 904-222-8255. We are going to take our first short break and be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And we have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. Everybody pretty much has heard of Doge right now. It's the teamwork of Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, who are going to go into the federal government and try to instill some common sense where very little exists, cut out some duplicative things and trim it down and just generally reduce spending. And a good place to start would be in the Social Security and Medicare arena. They have a serious problem with improper payments made to people who don't deserve them. They either deserve the payment, but it's too high, or they don't deserve the payment and get it anyway, and there's an inadequate system of clawing it back. That's so big that it would do a really, really good down payment on their entire mission. My question to you is, how much does our government pay improperly every second of every day? And I'm not going to give you any hints.
Okay.
Somebody needs to bracket this one, I think. All right, back to the market and the jobs and such. That I'm sure you're going to get into this, but I was interested the ADP and then the establishment and then the household were really a lot different this time.
Okay. I didn't look at the ADP this morning. What was it?
122, I believe.
Okay.
That came out Wednesday. But the household, 478,000. And that was with an increase in the number of people coming into the workforce. If you know what happens in these two, we've talked about this before, but a lot of you probably haven't heard it. When they do the establishment survey, it's the payrolls of big companies, and they tend to call in the same companies every month, and they compare what they have now to what they had a month ago. When the household survey, they pick up the phone and they survey individual households. And what that does is if people get back into work looking for a job, or they take a little consulting gig or anything like that, this finds those people, and particularly the self-employed people. It finds them ahead of when they're on payrolls of bigger companies. A lot of people actually get to work for bigger companies by starting that way. So this one's probably the best snapshot of what's going on. And if it's true, January is a reflection, December and January are reflecting what happened in the optimism world. I believe a lot of this jobs thing is a direct reflection on attitudes because of the election. People now want to get some people on their staff and get them started because they want those people, and they know if they start getting jobs quickly, good people are going to dry up real fast. So I think it's just a case of extreme optimism, probably well-founded. That is my opinion and only mine.
Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment. There was other good news in the job market. Well, there was mixed news and there was good news. So the JOLTS report came out on Tuesday. That's the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. And the headline number was a bit better than expected. But the underlying trends were still showing some weakness. The hiring rates are now below pre-COVID levels. That's pretty crazy. Quits are also falling dramatically. That shows that workers they know it's hard to find a new job, so they're not quitting their current job. Layoffs are up, but not dramatically. And then Indeed also has a jobs report, and it showed that job openings have been falling but stabilized recently. New postings are trending down. Well, and it's weird. The breakout is if you have a white collar job in healthcare, tons of jobs available. If you have a white collar job not in healthcare, you might be in some trouble. Actually, really, really, really weak in non-healthcare related white collar jobs. Blue collar jobs are down, but not nearly as much as those white collar jobs that are not healthcare related.
Yeah, manufacturing had a tough month too. Again, I don't know when that's going to start picking up.
Actually, I just saw one. I didn't print it out, but there was one of the ISM numbers that was fairly high this month. I think it was the services rebounded pretty strongly.
Yep.
And I believe we have a phone call.
All right. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm going to take a stab at the trivia question.
Well, all right.
Well, we'll set the bracket. You said, how much do we spend improperly, our government,
per second
of every day?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to say $1,000.
Well, that's a fine guess, but it's too low.
Oh, can you believe it?
It hurts, doesn't it, just thinking about it?
Wow.
Yep, I just did that.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I enjoy the show. Got the bracket set. I'll listen for the right answer.
Okay. We appreciate the call. Thanks.
And just as
you bet. Bye-bye.
As a side note, I also thought it might be $1,000.
Uh-huh.
So I did that math, and that would be like over $31 billion a year that they waste.
Paltry.
Yes, exactly. So absolutely, that was my paltry point. Over 31 billion is way too small.
Yep.
Crazy.
You know, everybody, all right thinking people really would like to see Vivek and Elon succeed in this thing, because even the most liberal big spender understands that, A, we spend too much money. Two, we're too far in debt. And three, they're not the ones getting it. If they were, they'd feel differently. I know somebody's taking home a lot of their cash and wasting it. And I do believe the timing on the whole Doge movement could not possibly be better.
There is no logical argument that could convince me that it's a bad thing to clean up government waste.
No.
There's no argument that would make any sense to me.
We all know it exists. We've known it forever and ever. It's hard to do anything about. I've got some stories that'll illustrate this the rest of today, too. Anything else you want to cover?
Yeah, just a couple of things. One is that bonds, if you're thinking that they are a safe haven, you may want to think again. Over the last 5 years, holding 10-year treasuries has yielded you a 5% yield. The only problem is that yield is negative. You've lost 5% a year in 10-year treasuries over the last 5 years. That really hurts. That is not a safe haven. Or if it is, I don't want any part of that safe haven. Give me the stock market over that, even with its ups and downs.
That came on the heels of a 20-year bull market bonds.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Where you're getting 8-point-something on average compounded over 20 years.
I'm pretty sure that negative 5% won't keep up with inflation. That's not great. I do think that bonds are starting to look pretty attractive, though. I have a hard time seeing interest rates spiking for much longer. I think we've got to be close to the peak. That's just an opinion. But stranger things have happened that might spike more, but I just feel like it's bonds are starting to look attractive to me.
Yeah, and I think one of the things Adam's been doing tactically for our clients and us, he's been shifting over from holding any individual bonds to holding bond funds, because the bond funds get turnover. And some of them will be held to maturity in the fund and then replaced, and they get a better interest rate than you might get in a combination of interest and pricing. So there's some very, very good bond funds out there that I do not hesitate to buy. And a lot of them are yielding a monthly payment that's not too bad.
No, north of 4 or 5. So, yeah.
5.25, 5.5 even on one of them, I think.
Yep.
So don't shy away from them. Just don't try to get too fancy. And I wouldn't dump everything I've got in that bond market just yet.
No, we still hold a good amount of money market. Although it's not paying the 5.4% it was a year ago, it is still above 4.5 or so, and I'll take that. That's still a good return. What I find is that clients, even my most conservative clients, when yields drop below 4, they start to get a that's not so great at them. But anything above 4, they're usually pretty okay with, and I get that. Psychologically, 4 feels better than 4 outpaces most years in inflation, and 3 might not. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and I did notice, too, that the labor rates have snuck up back over 4% annualized now. So that is a good sign also overall. It's not too high, but it's not too low. We've got to get people making enough money to live in this elevated cost environment. I think that's a drag on everything right now that we're seeing. So the bond market is reflective of a lot of things and a lot of its attitude. Right now, people's attitudes seem to be that bond pricing is not going to go up because the interest rate direction has to turn down. So once we get a downturn in actual market interest rates, a lot of things are going to change. And I think you get a really good return either in the stock market or bond market, to the point where one of these days the old 60-40 portfolio might look pretty good again.
Yeah, the other thing that's influencing the bond market is that we've seen the yield curve has been inverted for so long, and it had to uninvert at some point, and that is going to cause some movements in the yield curve that are opposite of what you might think. And I believe we've seen some of that recently, with things sort of unwinding. I don't think it's completely uninverted, but it's definitely a lot better than it was a year ago.
Yes, agreed. We do have someone on the line. I don't have a name yet, but we're about 45 seconds from having to take a break. So please, if you can, hold on through the bottom of the hour break, and we'll pick you up right afterwards. Oh, it's Leroy. Okay, Leroy, if you can hang on just a few minutes, we'll be right back with you. A quick item from recent events. TikTok The Supreme Court may not allow Trump to make the decision with an extension, but some of the things they know are unbelievable. It starts with name, age, username, email address, password, phone number, location, IP address, telephone carrier, time zone, device model, biometric identifiers, contents of your messages, and on and on and on. This has got to be looked at, folks, and it's got to be looked at very quickly. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back and pick it up where we left off. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a call that I'm going to virtually immediately, but I do want to remind everybody that probably what's on his mind is to attempt an answer at this one. How much money does our government spend incorrectly, meaning overpayments, to people in Medicare and Medicaid and so on and so forth, every second of every day? And let's see if he knows. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning. Good morning. One thing I wanted to ask before we got started into this kind of stuff here was find out if Adam did any permanent damage to the Arkansas duck population.
I can definitely attest that I did, all within my legal limits, and it really didn't make a dent because they were everywhere. But yes, I did my best to do that.
Yeah, the old saying, well, shoot the air full of ducks.
I take it.
What's that, Leroy?
You had a good time, I take it.
It's just the best in the world. I mean, the hunting is insane there.
How long have you known these folks?
Well, one of them was my college. He lived in the dorm room next to mine my freshman year of college in 1998, so quite a while.
Wow, that's great. Well,
yeah.
I'm glad you had a good time. All right, I will try the what was the previous guess?
$1,000. It was too low.
How about $7,500?
You have a way of these things, don't you? That is
I don't know.
That is exactly the right number.
Well, usually tell me that's a very good guess, but you're wrong.
Well, I've been doing that lately. Paul called me and said, can we improve the cash flow for a few weeks and make your questions real hard? No, that didn't happen. He is not tight. But, yes, it is $7,500 a second.
So that's like
that's unbelievable. That's a bunch of money.
Yeah. What? It's $236 billion a year, roughly.
Yeah.
Wow.
It makes you want to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-DOGE, doesn't it?
No kidding.
Get started, guys. Don't wait 9 more days. Start now. I think they already are, though, actually. Well, we need some serious help. But if they can figure out how to start cutting this down, I know it won't happen overnight, but put some controls in.
Well, you know there's going to be a million roadblocks thrown up in front
of
you.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Absolutely. But there are... right after we hang up, I will give you something that I've just read that gave me a little bit of hope that maybe something will get better. So, can it get worse? Maybe. Will it? I don't think so anymore. I think with the oversight of a whole bunch of new people, I don't know about anybody else, but I think what Trump is doing is assembling what I would call a dream cabinet. Every one of these people is intelligent, well-spoken, assertive, well-rounded, all those things. I think they're very, very serious about solving some of the problems we have as a country. So I'm really excited. 9 days can't go by soon enough.
Let's hope so.
Yep. All right, well, we got your...
All right, well, I'll let you guys go.
We got your number and your address, so don't worry about a thing.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. It's scary, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah, seriously. But the really scary part is that $236 billion, even if you saved every penny of it, would it really make a dent? I mean,
it's a dent.
But it's a tiny dent.
Yeah. Let's see.
That is 25 days of increase in the deficit.
Yeah.
25 days they increased the deficit by that amount.
Now, let's see what the current administration is doing about it. I'll start with the bad. The both houses passed and the president signed into law something called the Social Security Fairness Act. It is as poorly named as any other law that they pass in D.C. because it's anything but that.
Mm-hmm.
This has to do with people who work for governments and hospitals and things like that for all or part of their working lives, and a lot of them have spouses, and they found out years ago that these people were double dipping. They were getting their pension from the pension plan that they were working under, but they were also getting the benefit from their spousal Social Security, for which they did not qualify, in that they already made too much retirement income. It was supposed to be offset. It was an error in the system the way it was designed, and they did offset it. They offset it twice, one called the Government Pension Offset, or GPO, that was supposed to offset any Social Security spousal benefits that were overdue. The other one, this one is probably the best named law ever in the history of D.C. It's called the Windfall Elimination Provision. You can't double dip, people. You get one or the other. A lot of you know people or may have been in a situation where you worked in the railroads or something like that, where they have blended system for their own retirement and Social Security, and they play off each other so that you don't wind up double dipping. Well, the usual group of liberal elected officials in D.C. were joined by the unusual other side of the aisle liberals that are elected in D.C. They said, oh, we can't have this. It's unfair to not pay everybody the same amount of Social Security, even if you get a pension from the other work you did and weren't really qualified for Social Security. So they just passed the so-called Social Security Fairness Act. What did that do towards saving the Social Security system?
Well, it actually, it made its demise a little bit nearer on the horizon.
By $200 billion.
Oh, that's ironically the same Isn't amount it? We could save by yeah. not paying people who aren't worthy of it.
Ze Congress giveth, ze Congress taketh away, apparently. Unreal. What does it take for these people? And I think replacement is the only answer that has a chance of being close to right. So that, that is what it is. Hopefully that's one of those things that we will see an improvement in. Now, on the good side, as I mentioned, who knows what the Global Engagement Center is?
No clue.
Most people don't. It is a little something that Obama came up with in 2016, and it was supposed to be a counterterrorism department, which turned, and it was only overseas. Mandate was they only work overseas. And it was supposed to be a way to find out what's going on out there that we should be afraid of and so on. Well, it turned into a censorship office in D.C. And like everything else that they do, it sat there and sat there and kept taking money and taking money, and it got worse and worse for censorship. Well, all of a sudden, somebody got wise to it. Oh, it would be Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Mike Johnson was originally in favor of renewing it and refunding it. And they went to President-elect Trump and said, this is really a bad idea. It doesn't live up to its charter. It costs too much money, and it's really nothing more than censorship. So they defunded it, and it went back in front of Congress, and they tried to refund it, and it didn't pass. The GEC is gone. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
That's one. How many hundreds are left to go? I have no idea. But as good news comes in, I like to report it, and I hope there'll be a lot more out of those people. All right. How many of you remember us talking recently about Social Security increases, which I believe were 2.8%? Starting this year,
that
this month.
That sounds right.
I think it was. And how somehow it never seems to accrue to our bottom line or our lifestyle or our purchasing power. And part of that is because the Social Security COLA is a different number than the Medicare COLA. So what did we find out this year? Medicare is not going up the 2.5 or 2.8 or whatever. It is going up almost 6%. There again, the government giveth, the government taketh away. How are senior citizens supposed to maintain their lifestyle when those shenanigans are going on up there? It is a physical impossibility, and it irritates me, not just because I'm one of them, although that certainly makes it a little closer to home, but you can't keep doing this to people. There should be an inflation rate, period. And I bitched about this for a long, long time on air, and nobody ever seems to listen. But it happened again, and we now have lost about 20%. In this century, we've lost about 20% of the purchasing power of a Social Security COLA. And now they're trying to figure out how to save the system after they just charged another $200 billion extra, because it is going broke, and is now going broke a little quicker than it would have before this last change. What do you suppose every single proposal is about? Soak the rich.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over and over. Again, this time, a couple of Democrats got together and found one that said, you earned it, you keep it. And if you Google that, it'll come right up in the law. It says, we shouldn't be taxing Social Security benefits. Well, there are a couple of ways to make the system worse than it is funding-wise. One of them is to decrease their income. Taxes paid on Social Security benefits by people who get them at the 50% or 85% level go directly back into the Social Security system, so they're credited back. When that number goes to zero, the source of income for the system is lower. Therefore, the system goes broke a little earlier than it should. But they've got it all figured out, so it'll actually extend the system by 10 years, and I am going to tell you exactly how to do that as soon as we get back from one last break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this is to remind everybody that it's official now, the name of the parent company, which was Van Wee Financial till recently, is now official, and it's on the website. It's called Strivus Wealth Partners. And if you go to VanWeeFinancial.com, it'll shift you right over there. The website just went active last night, so you can see a new layout. You got some improvements on the user friendliness of it and so on. And you can, of course, book appointments with us there and hear the radio rebroadcasts after Monday or Tuesday, whenever they go
live. Monday they go live. And, yeah, okay. So that's all on there. And you can also book an appointment with our newest partner, Joey Loss. Mm-hmm. And he was on the show filling in for me last week. I listened to the show. He did an admirable job for his first time really co-hosting. So, he's going to make an appearance about once a month on our show and be a regular contributor now.
Yeah, that's how I worked my way into this business 20 odd years ago. And it kind of gets in your blood after a while.
Yeah. Joey also has his own podcast, and it's really good. You should check that out. There's another link on our website, striveuswealth.com, where you can listen to that one.
All righty. All right, wrapping up the Social Security, I'm not going to surprise any one of you out there. This little fix, Angie Craig's proposal, it's not going to do anything except prolong the life of the system. And you're going to be able to keep all that Social Security income you've got, because she's going to eliminate the cap on Social Security wages. And every rich person, as she calls them, who makes $250,000 on up, will have 100% of that paid into the same tax rate as we pay under 172 right now. Tax the rich. Tax the rich. Tax the rich. What's the question? The answer is tax the rich.
You knew that was coming.
Absolutely. You know it when you read the headline. Those of you who are of a certain age might remember back in 1983 when the system got into trouble, and it was literally just a few months from drastic benefit cuts. So Congress was literally forced to act, and Reagan spearheaded it. That's when they came up with this concept that way out in the future, people will have to wait a little longer to retire, full retirement age. They didn't change the early Social Security filing, but they changed full retirement age. I had about 30 years of notice that instead of 65, it would be 66. Eh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't even think about 31 years from now anyway. But we need to do it again.
We do.
And they don't want to do it. Just look at the life expectancies of people. Now, some people on the other side are going to say, well, life expectancies have been falling in this country.
Not if you're not hooked on fentanyl.
Exactly. If you take out the noise from the numbers, as they say, meaning fentanyl deaths and wars and things like that, life expectancies are doing fine and climbing. Modern medicine does what modern medicine does and is keeping people alive longer. So you don't listen to all of this when you hear horror stories about it. Something has to be done. And if you also remember, when Clinton got in there in 1993, I believe, they changed the taxable amount, too, for people who made a little bit more than a base rate of money. So some people would pay no tax on them. Some would pay 50% of them, pay taxes on that amount. And Clinton raised it to 85%. And how he got away with that, I have no clue. The elderly voted for Clinton in droves, and he raised their taxes.
Yep.
When he promised them, he was going to lower them.
Yep.
Remember the old middle-class tax cut? That's how he got elected. He was going to make a big old middle-class tax cut. Well, when push came to shove, he came back a couple weeks later and says, I just can't find him. I just can't find the money. There's no tax cut in that budget. Yeah. Come on. Don't listen to these people. So anyway, now here we are in the same situation, and it's just far enough away that Congress can drag their feet. And quite frankly, Trump is not behind this either, and I wish he would get that way.
Well, I understand that. That is not a politically appealing move, and right now he's riding a wave of popularity and has the mandate that was given to him in the election. He's going to go after the things that are going to be the most popular and the easiest to implement, like extending the current tax code and things like that.
Well, quite frankly,
border policies.
That's about the, those two things are probably the highest priority for most of us, too. I just want to remind everybody that something has to be done. And only when push came to shove in history has Congress showed the willingness to actually do something about it. All right, another one. There's a nice article. Where did this come from? On Lifehacker. It's very important, and I'm bringing this up for reasons that will soon become very obvious. It's very important when you have a homeowner's insurance claim to file the claim early. And it's recommended very highly that in order to do that, the first thing you do is call your insurance company and make a record of the phone call. Every step of the way, keep records of what's going on. Discuss with them what's covered, what's not covered, on and on and on. Do it soon because they take your cases and the order received. You don't want to be down the list on this thing if you're in some place like California.
Yeah, for sure, especially when it's a mass destruction event like that.
Yeah. So if you know anybody out there who's affected, let them know that the first thing they should do is get on record with their insurance company as having laid a claim right now.
Yep, and just keep a detailed log of who you talked to, the name of the person, the date and time you called, and what was discussed, and if anything was promised by them in terms of follow-up, mark that down as well.
Yep. I know it's a problem all over. It's a bigger problem there, of course. But even here, for those people, for instance, in the Panhandle that were affected by the hurricanes, they need to understand this, too. If they haven't already filed, and I hope they have, it's been long enough now, do it quickly. Just remember that. If you're ever in the throes of some kind of a problem like that, get on record and keep good records.
Have you ever wondered if the data coming out of the Chinese government about their growth rates was accurate?
No, I've never wondered.
Because you know it's not.
Exactly.
I read a very humorous article. I don't think it was intended to be humorous, but I found it very humorous. It said that President Xi muzzles a Chinese economist who dared to doubt the GDP numbers. And this guy was an advisor to the government, and he owns he's the chief economist at state-owned SDIC Securities. And he said that, this doesn't seem right. They've been saying they've been growing by 5%, but I'm seeing 2%. It just and these government stimulus projects don't seem like they're going to make up that difference. And what do you know? He was banned from allowing to speak publicly for an unspecified period, but he was allowed to keep his job. So he must be a pretty powerful guy.
Must be.
Yeah. But for the crime of speaking out, doubting these official numbers from the government.
Do you think he knows Jack Ma?
I don't know if he knows him, but I'm sure he knows what happened to him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They go away for a few months, and when they come back, they're just very complacent. It does bring up shades of some books that we've all read from back when. Let's see. There is another one here. If you guys were listening, the real loyal listeners, we had a big discussion about California homeowners insurance about
2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah.
We were noting the problems with mm-hmm. their funding of their reserves by the equivalent of Citizens for California.
Yeah, they call it FAIR. There's that word again.
Of course.
You can't escape that when you're dealing with people like that. They passed a law that said every insurer in California has to have in reserves, and I think that would include reinsurance, 100%, so that every one of their policyholders filed a maximum claim on the same day, they would have the money to pay them all.
Mm-hmm.
What does FAIR have in their reserves?
10%.
10%, exactly. You wonder, anybody wonder what to do about this? There has to be some wholesale house cleaning at every federal, state, and local level. Come over here to Florida sometime and look at the numbers here. Our governor is offering to help Californians now. That's how it's done.
New York offered to send firefighters, and apparently they turned them down.
I'm only laughing because how could they do that? You can't be that dumb and still live.
I don't know. I blame you for thinking that they were smart enough to say yes.
It's just, oh, God. I don't know. You don't catch me speechless very often. Usually it's harder to shut me up than to make me talk.
Yeah.
But right now I have gone right over into the speechless category. And if this has not pulled the plug on Newsom's presidential bid, then all I could say is the California voters deserve exactly what they get.
Apparently, what's her name? Karen Bass? Was she the mayor? Wasn't she on Biden's shortlist for VP too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Imagine if you can. We did badly enough with what we had.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine. Let's see. We've only got a few seconds left. Credit card defaults spiked to highest level since the aftermath of the 2008 financial crisis. We're not out of the woods yet, but I firmly believe, folks, that it's coming around, and I'm not really worried for the market this year or anything else. Just we got to let it settle down. Everybody expects some shenanigans on the 20th, I think, but we'll get through them. They're going to try to raise some holy hell when they swear him in. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week. A little more fun here and there. Keep the faith. This is the